happened, I thought I had to introduce to you the term of tent making and all that. Anyway, my name is Berit Helgoy Kloster. And one, to Lodjulup, Berit. Oh, Helgoy means holy island. Kloster means monastery. And so, oh, you must be something religious. I was born and brought up on a very tiny island in Norway, and I had to row to go to school, and I find that that was a very, very good way to be brought up, because you don't give up before you have reached the other side. And one on this trip is here now. I'm so thankful for being invited here and to see what is done. Because after 22 years in, should we say, senior associate, at that time we only had three, now we are up to 20, it was very, very struggling to find out that there was no interest. There were no interest. And I've given up several times. And then the marketplace came. And for one reason or other, you were able to open the doors of the theologians. And as we were in Bangalore 1 month ago, was the first time in 22 years in Lausanne that we were able to have a presentation of this in public. Because tent making is that we think that when Paul was called to go to Europe, of course, it was just stupidity of him coming there and saying, I'm a Pharisee. There was no understanding. And it was in those days, as all of you know, that to become a Pharisee, you also needed a secular skill. And the good thing with a secular skill is what you are good at. So he went over and met with his colleagues. And we even see that God empowered. So even his handkerchief, his apron, miracle happened. This is not the spiritual gift mentioned in the Ephesians about the handkerchief. But it happens that God always uses what you give to him. When we have tent making, we say that a definition, we have spent many conferences on definitions. Please don't do it, because the world is changing. Today, the tent maker term is used for anyone who seeks to serve our Lord through working in another culture, because we focus on another culture. Before we say another nations, no, I see in my small city of Stavanger with 130,000 inhabitants, we have people from 260 nations. It's the honeypot of oil that's there. And we need to meet with those from another culture. We also base on workplace as a witness, because that is where they see you. That is where they see you. And the first thing they see, as I applied for my college, not my name, not that I've been a missionary, the first thing they observe, how is she doing her teaching? That's, we can hand out as many business cards and blame, said I have 3 PhDs, I have that. No, it is what you do. And Paul, he was building friendship with his colleagues. Anyway, this will be passed on to you later, yes. with your colleagues. And that's a very difficult thing in a secular setting. How do you do it? When do you tell you are a Christian? What will that mean to them? The majority of my colleagues, I think they looked at me as a judge of their lives. And I didn't want to do that. And also, if we should strive for excellency, because that is respected in all culture. I will go home and ask my son about your cousin. I'm sure he will say he's a very, very good engineer. That's what I see. And I also have experienced that God will help us to do that. And we have to be transparent in being at the workplace we are, and we have to be transparent in earning and spending money. As we are working on tent making, of course, if you can, you will hear also on business's mission, it is more like the same. You work in another culture, but I'm asking myself, why do we not see what is prepared for us, at least more than anything money-wise, in all the jobs offered by international companies? What you are trained for, what you are good at. And it's like God is I'm very surprised that so few Christians are signing up for the United Nations jobs, for the Red Cross, for the existing jobs. It's sort of, no, I cannot go there, This became very clear to me in 2010, just before Cape Town, that we heard about the 10 persons being beheaded in Afghanistan. It was from some Korea, but it were all Christians, medical personnel. I knew one of them. And I was so shocked to find their picture on Facebook. I have promised never to put on anything on Facebook, hardly. And I thought, why, if they had gone with UN or under the Red Cross, they have had much better security. They wouldn't have been that obvious for the Taliban. And if we go to the Old Testament and see, nor Daniel nor Joseph had a congregation telling about them. I was a traditional missionary to Ecuador and Bolivia, and I was working in the slum, and I was working with university students. Actually happened to start the IFES movement in both of those countries. But I think we are too hooked on that the church should say, this is our mission. It's our mission. And of course, it's fantastic to feel you have a mission supporting you. But it's possible to support them with prayers if they are in secular companies. And you should do it. We must do it. Unless we leave them as lonely wolves. But if we today are willing to go as Christians, or to send Christians from your churches, and especially you as Asians, brothers, you have less dirty blood on your hands than we as Europeans and Americans. You can go. You can take the last harvest in God's kingdom by international companies. Good money paid. We spend too much money, no, too much time asking people, please support me, please support me. Economically, I say I will pray for you, though I give money away. But we need to see what is there. Because Jesus, he left us without a work strategy. The only involvement with working, I mean, after he rose, we all remember John 21. The fishing, the fisherman. And I will ask him personally, you hear that, Jesus? Why didn't you make a visit to Pilatus after your resurrection? Why didn't you go and see all those in Jerusalem? Only the fishermen. He was at the workplace and there was no money involved. It was only follow me. Just a little, if we go back to the history, and excuse me for being a European. I'm from Norway. The Vikings, you've heard of them? They were worse than Taliban, I assure you. Every northern country with sea was scared of them. But you know that for the first 300 years of history, the Christian gospel were gossiped. Because of persecution, they couldn't speak loud. And then, as we come to the great moment that they conquered the Roman Empire, they had to make a structure. And what did they do? They copied the Roman Empire. Instead of the empire, they put the Pope. And then the bishops, and the people were at the bottom. That is the structure. And that was the structure until year 1500, when we had the humanism and we had the Reformation, and where everybody could start reading. And at this time, we also had the colonism. I spoke to an Argentinian once, and I was there to do a project. And he said, for what? What are you going to tell us now? And then he told the story about the Europeans. He said, God asked him, what have you done to your neighbor? And he became white. Pale in his skin. Because we have done very much. But it seems like in God, in history, he knew that. He bought into it because they were Christians. But it was just in 1800 among working people in England that the Holy Spirit revived to them and showed them and said, oh, in these colonist countries, they don't know God. What can we do? And they picked out the method of what we call traditional mission. They adopted the colonization strategy, that the country sent out their delegates to India and so on, even left-hand driving from England, I see here. All the structure from the homeland should be transformed and they should be there, be the rulers and everything. And they had one mission, to bring wealth to the Commonwealth, or to the French, or to the Spanish. But then they said, we send a missionary paid by the local church to work in that area for what we tell him. Very much taken away from the culture they met. And this is what today, if we copy, that God today has prepared the world so we can go where we want with our profession and with Jesus inside us, because he lives in us. And what we give to him, he will use. I can guarantee that. He pointed on this clock. I'm so thankful for you that God made Lausanne to make you the what it's called, deputy, not being a theologian for Central Asia. This is God's work, I say you. Those two fellows there are so important to get this message out. And I strongly believe that we are doing the last harvesting. Yes, he will return when all nations have heard. This is true workplace ministry. So, my beautiful PowerPoints will maybe come. Thank you very much and God bless you.
I don't know if we have overcome the technology piece, but my name is Tun Cheng. I am known as Tun to a lot of my friends, so a big significance in Malaysia, as I said. And I come from an EFC church as well, so I'm thankful for that EFC presentation. I'm a little bit shaking right now because I come in between a senior associate of Luzon, and then what coming up behind me is also a senior associate of Luzon. I'm only a business consultant involved in business transmission. So I'll share what I some of my own thoughts. Just in case, I put out this picture because this is a picture of a mountain goat called Ibex, and that's a group I serve with. I give you a brief kind of outline of what business transmission. It's about missional business that serves people, that's aligned with God's purpose, that's a steward of the planet, and makes a profit. So these represent the four bottom line, the quadruple bottom line, social, spiritual, environmental, and financial bottom line. I kind of last minute put this together. I borrowed this from a friend. This is just to share with you the thinking of the, there's a big word called theology up there. How the three should intersect. The theology of work itself, business, and of mission itself, how that should intersect. If you look at the three parts of it, this is not my slide, I borrowed from a friend. This is the the Great Commission, then we have the creation mandate and the Great Commandment as well. So this is all part of what the people in the band movement looks at. So I just want to put up to you to share with you there is some foundation that we are looking at, and the commonality is in the theology of work here. But I was very glad to hear yesterday about the talk of the theology of business needed as well. I want to share a few things that are like an observation. So theology of work has to do with worth, the human dignity, right? As I share, you get to see that. It's also about worship, how we worship God, being created in God's image, and we look not just earthbound, but we're heavenward looking. It's also about a witness. Now it's a hope. So I won't go too much because I will share some stories as I go along. Since Asians would like to tell stories. It's also about from theology, it gives me a sense of my achievement and my worth. That was about my purpose. It speaks to me about my purpose, it speaks to me about who I am as a person. And also it gives me a sense of hope and what to aspire for. Right? Now, I'm speaking more just for myself. I'm speaking like somebody involved in business as mission, doing a business cross-culturally. To be able to model this to someone in another culture, whether it's in Central Asia, one of the Stan, or in the Arab Muslim world, to talk about some of these things. That work itself can help you define your purpose, who you are, and your hope. Now here's where I tell two stories. What's that in your hand? I think as a lot of theologians, you know where that comes from. Dan is actually a Canadian consultant. In between his job, he went to Central Asia. I met him. And at the end of his 6 months, he said, I did not realize God could use me, a consultant. He is a consultant in area of logistics. So he went to Kyrgyzstan and then he went to Tajikistan. He had two businesses to re-engineer and look at the process of logistics. And these were all missional business. Right? And he said, I did not realize God could use me as a consultant for the missions in Central Asia at that time. He was very challenged. He said, I'll be back. Right? I've not seen him since, but a fine young man who wants to use his talent and his skill set for God's work. He did not evangelize, but he was still being part of the work of in Kyrgyzstan and in Tajikistan. In Shenyang, about a month ago, I visited this company because I mentor them. XQ is the name of the company. A lady with very little education, so not a white collar worker. She has sewing skills. She's one of the chief sewer for this company that does a lot of embroidery and all this work. Right now, she's in somewhere in the western part of China, being sent by her company, the Christian Missional Business Company, to work with the local NGOs close to the Tibetan group of people in that part of China, very sensitive area. So she's there now to teach the orphanage, the girls, how to sew. The company, with its own profit, have donated two sewing machines and sent the first expert sewer to go there and to teach the girls how a skill. And this lady, she's a believer, and when I met her, she was so thrilled. And she said, I'm so thrilled that I can go and use my sewing skills to serve God and to bless other people. Right? So this is a story. Right? This is not, I met this lady, it's true. I was very excited when I met her. Right? So that is, I guess, theology at work, really at work, okay, in the workplace. the role of teaching theology of work to serve the banners. We talked about this already, the missional business need a foundation. The foundation to build corporate culture. Right? Because the entrepreneur is a Christian in a band business, a missional business, and he can shape the corporate culture. Right? He can sign a pledge, whatever, but he has to shape the corporate culture. And I think the theology of work also serves as a very good framework to shape the entire business ethos. And also to serve as a function to help to make sure that the business is aligned with God's purpose. So I see that as important. But I see also important that the teachers, the seminarians, the pastors as well, need to listen to the business and to the workplace so they can not only remain current, know what is happening, but they can also call for a reflection of theology. In other words, they need to understand that the business practice must be rooted in God's Word. And to think about how each of these practices, including, for example, HR, would be rooted in God's Word. All right? There was an American company in Jordan that does a lot of very fine jewelry. One of our Singapore mentors was there to visit about 2-3 years ago. He brought along his wife, and they assigned a lady, local Jordanian woman, to be her chaperone, to be escort, to host her. And secretly during that visit, she told Mary that, "I am a secret believer." And the reason why she became a believer was because she was treated with dignity. She was given a nice workplace, clean environment, a safe environment to work. Right? So the practice, the HR practice, was really rooted in the framework and the principles of God's Word. And I think it's also important that both the seminarians, the pastors, will continue to, right, maybe this is more for the seminarian, to challenge the church at large in this dichotomous mindset that we have. We have to challenge that. Right? Because we can get caught up in the rut, so to speak. And the band movement as a whole will really need thought leadership in business and workplace issues. I'm glad to hear that some people here are talking about capitalism, the ills of it. I'm also glad that some mention of unemployment. It's a chronic problem. I'm not talking about transitional or structural unemployment. If we go to some of these countries, unemployment officially is 30%, unofficially it's more than 50%. Right, in Central Asia, particularly in the poorer part of the stan, I only know one, it's called Tajikistan, I visit that twice a year. The unemployment is pretty high. Not only that, the men are not around because they are out somewhere in Russia finding jobs. Net result of that, dysfunctional families, the men fall into sin, crime, alcohol, gambling, what have you. So I think somewhere, this is me speaking, I need to ask that question to this group. Is unemployment a missional issue? I want the answer from theologians. Is that a missional issue? I feel it is. Alright. But I want to hear the answer. I think I've been reading about it. There are some people who wrote about it. But I think there's some things that we have to look at. There are social ills, for example, labor exploitation. We've heard a little bit about that. But how about human trafficking? Huge problem. All right? Singapore is has this huge problem. Not because we traffic, but it comes through us. It comes through our shores. Through foreign labor or the sex trade or whatever. So that's a huge problem. So when you rescue someone from sex trade, you rescue them into what? Right. So there are some banned business, for example in Bangladesh I've met, they during the recent BAM conference, they are involved with what we call freedom business. Right? And one of the stories I must tell you, because the lady who was running one of these freedom business in Bangladesh, she said that the most emotional and touching moment is when the ladies receive their first paycheck. They will cry. Because for the very first time in their life, they did work with dignity and made a living out of it. Okay? Okay, what are gaps? I think we've talked about this, the Asian perspective, so that the Asian perspective is informed by scripture, both by the business people, by the work people in the workplace, by theologians, by pastors. Everybody has to have the same. I think we need to look at that. And I also think that one of the gaps is that we need to really have learned people, scholars, to reflect on scripture, reflect on what are on the business itself, some of these practices. For example, in the area of investments, okay, we need to have that. I like the theology of work. I've been tracking that for a while, so I've seen the old version of it as well. So I'm so glad it's so pretty right now. I think there's great potential for things like, I'm not sure that this is a plan for webinars. I'm glad to hear that, for online consultation, possibly, and peer-to-peer learning. Right. So I think the potential is out there because the technologies are there. Right. I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to that because this is where then the people out in the countries doing BAM could really learn and continue to learn without having to uproot, fly 30 hours to go somewhere to a seminary. Right. And I think collaboration-wise, I think we need to have not just the Asian view, but how do we have Asian view to transform the workplace culture? This is where I think the bigger burden is then on the business owners and entrepreneurs running missional business to transform their workplace. Right? Not just put the fish and verses on the wall, but to transform it through the HR policy, through training, to the customer relationship, to the customer service, everything has to be transformed to reflect something that honors the Lord. I think that we have regional issues we can work on, like foreign workers, human trafficking, urban, rural kind of work that perhaps we could continue the dialogue over some means. Meetings like these are very rare. The last one, I'm not sure it's been talked about, the mentoring network, to have some kind of accountability, whether there's something to for the various groups to look at, that we can. Because mentoring is so important in business as mission. You can't leave the guy out there alone. You gotta visit the guy and pray with him, talk to him. And I remember one of the local Tajik owner, we spent an afternoon, literally almost the whole day, we went to a quiet place and we just hang out. And during that time, we talk about his own personal struggles and so on. So I'd like to end with this, which I read this morning. Psalms 102 verse 18 says, "This will be written for the generation to come, that the people yet to be created may praise the Lord." I write this with the thought and prayer for the theology of what is no longer a paper, but it's something written that in generation of people to come. And also the generation to come in workplace, in the Alpha, in band, or whatever, will be able to praise the Lord. Alright? Thanks.
If there's no questions, I'll just give the time to Timothy to share a bit about the marketplace. Well, we wait for him to set up. I just remember I was involved in the setting up of IBEX many years ago, and why we call it IBEX, because actually it was started by InterServe, and we wanted to use the alphabet I, but we didn't want to have the connection with Intisar. So that's why we thought about the mountain, something that starts with I, but the ibex represented an animal that's very hardy, and because we work in hard places, that's the motto of Intisar. So that's why we use the word ibex. Talking about Laos, I remember a band project, right? There was one project where they brought some pigs to start a pig farm. I don't know if Sylvain, if you're aware, somebody tried to do a pig farm there, and they brought some very good pigs that very good in breeding. But when they tried to do the farming, somehow it wasn't successful. We don't know why. And finally, they realized the foreign pigs and the local pigs couldn't get along. That's why. So through collaboration, through actually mentoring and all that, they can learn a lot of things and benefit from that. So it's a true. This is true fact.
It just proves that it takes more than putting the different nations together. Working together from across nations is a big challenge. Let me just share with you what is Lazada Marketplace Ministry. We had a debate to use Marketplace or Workplace, remember 2004, and we decided to keep Marketplace because at that time, people understood what it was. Workplace ministry as a term wasn't that commonly used. We may have to revisit that after 10 years and see whether we have to change it to Lausanne workplace ministry instead. But we use that interchangeably, pretty much. So just for definition, the purpose of the marketplace ministry is really to, it's an issue group we started off, is to assist the church to equip the scattered people of God, the Laos, for the advancement of God's kingdom in and through the world of work. That's sort of our definition to start with. We sort of put this together in our 2010 meeting in Hong Kong. So what would you actually do? We seek to do this by means of thought leadership, in terms of the thinking, the reflection, trying to put together some strategic direction, educational and formational initiatives, resource development. One of the big collaboration that we had was with the Theology of Work, which had the resource development done, and then also global, regional, and local partnerships, which we have yet to move forward. So that's a lot on the books. One of the key document that we work off is the Lausanne Occasional Paper number 40 on Marketplace Ministry. Please write down this website, www.lausanne.org. You would look at the 2004 forum and you can download this for free. Yes. Yay. There's also the business as mission paper, there is the tent making paper, there is the holistic missions paper, and there are about 33 different issues group that were there. Okay. I apologize that I didn't have enough calling card, but if you want to contact me, this is my email and my mobile phone number. So timbill@marketplacechristian.net. Okay, but just in case. Three major events is our 2004 Pattaya, Thailand consultation, 2010 in Hong Kong with the Theology of Work people, and now with 2013 in Kuala Lumpur here. Now, you say, well, workplace ministry, marketplace, this is a really big field. What exactly are we talking about? It can be very, very confusing. And the other question we had within Lausanne was, we have now 35 or 36 different issues group. How does workplace or marketplace ministry relate to all these different groups? It took me a while to try to figure this out, but I think I have done something. But let me try to say that there is another group within Lausanne structure. It can be confusing. Called the Lausanne Workplace Network. Right. Now, this was actually the original. Some of you who know Lausanne history is known as the Laity Working Group, or then later they changed to BGEM, business, government, education, I can't remember, economics and medicine. So it's basically, and then later they decided to rename this called the Lausanne Workplace Network. Trying to differentiate the two can be a bit of a confusion, but it helps now that we are sort of somewhat amalgamated. It really helps to coordinate the efforts in collaboration, networking, and convening of conferences. That's really where the network is, and it's across the Lausanne groups. Whereas the workplace network is more, if you think about the body, it's more like the thinking. Lausanne Marketplace Ministry is more like the brains, thinking through the issues, working with all these things. Whereas the workplace network is more of the hands and legs trying to get things organized and coordinated. So that's a very rough way of doing it. We have four groups: the communications, collection of models and discipleship materials, and the theology of work group, which is actually pretty much the Lausanne Marketplace Ministry people are involved in currently. Okay? This is chaired by Dr. Jerry White from the Navigators. So, and I'm working as a convener for coordinating this thing. So my head is about to burst. So just a bit of a brief background. How does it then work? I think in trying to categorize the efforts, the workplace ministry is very broad. Within Lausanne, we actually have got holistic missions, workplace network, tent making, business as mission, diaspora, international students, arts, and then care and counsel as mission. We see this as best practices and workplace related strategies. How do you, and they are very focused and niche area. Tent making, business as mission, diaspora, and all this has quite a bit of a cross-cultural, cross-border flavor to that. Whereas marketplace ministry is more indigenous, more local. So it covers a large part of this, but it covers more than this. All right, marketplace ministry covers more than this. Then there are groups that are looking at issues affecting the workplace, and these are significant things. For example, we talk about integrity and anti-corruption is a major area that affects the workplace. Technology, how that transforms how people live and think. Creation care, science and bioethics. Freedom and justice, we talk about human trafficking and cities. The impact of cities on the workplace, the how cities are growing, the globalization, the trans-city migration, religious liberty in different nations, leadership development, partnership with men and women, which we don't talk about. I mean, here we get to have some ladies, but this is way underrepresented. And we need to have more ladies who are being engaged in the workplace. There are issues in terms of glass ceiling and so on in certain cultures as well. Disability concern. People who work in a workplace but who are disabled, how do we facilitate them in integration into the workplace? Resource mobilization, not in terms of finances, but also more in terms of people, assets, talents and so on. So all these are issues within the Lausanne movement that are looking at that are affecting the workplace. Then we have another area, which is understanding and witnessing of faith at the workplace. And these are groups that would be, there are people that we encounter with, for example, in Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, orally. How do we begin to share the stories? Because most people, as you say, are white collars in our work. But the blue collars, those people who are in manual labor, many of them are illiterate. How do we begin to bring together stories, biblical stories that teaches them about theology of work? And for the taxi drivers, that may be one set of stories. For those who are working in the service industry, in the manufacturing industries, in the agricultural setting, they may have a different set of stories to inform them about the theology of work. And so, are we able to bring these stories together? This is a big area which we need to work on. Then we have got evangelism among children, scriptural engagement, Jewish evangelism, women evangelism, evangelism training, proclamation evangelism, strategic evangelistic partnership. And again, one of the downfall that people talk about, theology of work and all this marketplace ministry, is that some say that it is too business focused, too white collar, and we need to extend that, and there are shortfalls. We can't do everything at the same time, so we need to work, take a step at a time. What are the low hanging fruits? The second part of this is there are people who are afraid that when we talk about theology of work and all this, that we end up being social gospel without the proclamation of the gospel. And so we need to be very much aware that Francis Assisi said, you know, witness at all times, if necessary, use words. And I think this is something which we need to also begin to share and work with people, that there is a beginning to the gospel, and that is the sharing of the gospel. And they are intertwined. You can't, if there are two sides of the same coin between proclamation and living up the gospel. And so we need both. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that people no longer start thinking in those dichotomous categories between living your faith and proclaiming your faith. They should be the same thing, right? And finally, are some things that are special attention that is needed that is beyond the typical workplace. Children at risk, least evangelized people, study of global Christianity, and church research. So as you can see, even within Lausanne, the work of bringing the whole gospel by the whole church to the whole world, there's still a lot of work that needs to be accomplished. So even as we speak about the theology of work, as we look at the teaching of the theology of work within churches and theological educations, we do not look in dichotomous or compartmentalized worldview between what is theology of work, what is mission, what is family, and so on. And what I like is we have done quite a bit of work currently in terms of the theology of work, with the completion of the theology of work project, a lot of the writings, what, you know, marketplace ministry is about, and so on. I think moving forward, as in my conversation with Al Irishman over a phone call, was that we need to develop further how the professionals, the workers, begin to think more specifically about their area of influence, their sphere of influence, their life. For example, people, is there a theology of the arts? I was speaking to Byron, who is the Senior Associate for Arts. How do we begin to articulate arts? And people usually think of arts as dancing, music, and so on. But we say art is infused in all part of life. Flower arrangement is art. Architecture, interior design is art. Putting together a computer program, whether you like it or not, being a programmer before, it is an art to put a computer program that has minimal number of lines of instructions and putting it into a beautiful way that people can interface easily and be aesthetically beautiful. Computer programs can be an art. We talked about product design of iPhones and everything else. It has to be both aesthetically beautiful, user-friendly, and so on. Business. We need to talk about more about business. I think Al Ashman talked about it. Media, governance, education, family, science and engineering, healthcare. And the list goes on. But what I'm saying is that all these areas need to be further developed so that practitioners have a better grasp of... Because one of the things people complain about theology of work is that I can't find traction. I have difficulty finding traction. And we need to begin to move forward in these areas to find traction. So, that's the end of it. I hope it gives you a nice overview and what are the challenges ahead of us, and what are some things that so Philip tells me time.
Thank you very much. It's exactly 1:15 and it's